Welcome to Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministry, teaching what the Bible tells us are the best and the only ways you should be handling money. We'll show you not only how to get yourself out of debt, but to remain debt-free. Now, how do we do it? Well, to be honest, it's not magic. If you would go to compasscatholic.org and click on Bible studies, the first Bible study that pops up will be Navigating Your Finances God's Way. Take a look. This is our 9-week small group Bible study. And as you go through and look at the topics over the 9 weeks, ask yourself, is this what I need? If you're a couple doing this together, is this what we need? That web address again is compasscatholic.org. Click on Bible studies and take a look at Navigating Your Finances God's Way. If you like what you see, there's a contact form right on the page. Fill it out. We'll get back in touch with you, or you'll see the toll-free number on the website. Just give us a call anytime. John and Evelyn Bean, the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministry, are in the studio with me today. And our topic of discussion will be the mistakes that people make when paying off debt. So, John, let's start by defining the different types of debt that someone may have.
Well, I guess the first one might be revolving debt.
Such as a credit card?
Yeah, that would be a credit card. Typically, I think that's probably like a store card or
Visa, MasterCard.
Visa, okay. And they allow you to use somebody else's money, you pay down the balance, and you use the money again. That kind of card typically has the highest rate of interest.
So they call that revolving because you can charge something and pay it off and then charge it again without getting approvals or anything like that. So you can just keep reusing the charge limit on that, right?
Okay. When I think of revolving, I think of store cards rather than just a typical Visa or MasterCard.
I think it's the same thing.
I think it works on the same principle, but I think if you're using a bank card, you're going to get, in most cases, not always, but in most cases, you'll have a better interest rate of interest that's charged on overdue balances than on a store card.
Okay, but the purpose of us talking about this today is to help people pay off debt, so we don't want to encourage anybody to keep a balance on their card.
I understand. 10-4, good buddy.
So what's the second kind of debt?
Steve, I think it's installment debt. What do you think?
Sounds good to me.
So that's like a car loan, like where you have a certain loan amount that's in total, and you have to pay a certain amount every month.
And it has a fixed end date.
Okay.
Okay. So you borrow X number of dollars, and you've got 24, 36, 48. Cars now are going to 84 months.
Oh, good grief. Seriously?
If you live up north, you're going to have a rust bucket before the car's paid off.
So what's that, 7 years?
Yeah.
So that's installment debt. One yes. amount of money in equal payments yep. every month for a certain period of time.
Yep.
And then there's mortgages.
I know what a mortgage is.
Okay.
That's when you buy your house, you get a mortgage.
And then the fourth type of debt, which a lot of people don't consider debt, is unpaid bills. If you have a utility bill or a doctor bill that comes due in the current month and you don't pay it, that is considered debt.
Yeah, and I think we need to emphasize the point you made there. It's not debt until you haven't paid it by the date due.
Yes.
So the day after the due date, it's a debt. The day before the due date, it's still just a bill.
So you can drag yourself out of debt that day if you pay it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
And there's normally consequences with these bills, just like credit cards, if you
miss the payment.
Your interest rate go up. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, one of the mistakes people make, since we're going to talk about mistakes today, is that they don't think they're in debt if they have something that's financed at 0% interest.
Okay.
But if you owe any money to anybody for any reason, it's debt, no matter what your interest rate is.
Yeah, yeah. But they have current debt or current payments. So that's kind of a, I don't know. I don't know about that, Evelyn.
But the catch-all is,
if you don't pay it, then you got big, you're in big doo-doo.
Because that 0% interest all of a sudden is going to jump up to 21, 22,
exactly.
25%.
And it'll go all the way back to the beginning.
Right.
Yes.
Are you talking about the, like you see the commercials where you can buy a room full of furniture and it's interest free for the next 10 years or
right.
something?
Yes.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
that catches at the end.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you miss.
And it's still debt though.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So 0% interest is never 0% debt. Anything you owe is still debt, no matter what your interest rate is. True?
True.
So,
I mean, even if you got a loan from Uncle Freddie, that's debt. And he might not be charging you anything for it. It's still a debt.
It's still debt because you owe it to somebody.
Yeah.
So another big mistake people make is not adding up their debt in total and figuring out what their total debt picture is.
Oh, that's just gruesome, Evelyn. Oh.
What, the thought of adding it all up?
Oh, you don't want me to add it all up, do you?
Well, I know we don't have any, so I love your acting. Thank you. Is he going to get an Emmy for that one? What's the radio award? A Rady?
Marconi.
A Marconi? Mm-hmm. You want a Marconi award for that one? No, but a lot of people know the monthly payments. I mean, they know the mortgage payment. They know the car payment. They know the minimum payments on the credit cards, but they don't know how much debt they have in total.
And that's true. I guess people are just afraid to really know the truth because they know it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've counseled people who've had over $100,000, and I don't think until we told them they had to add it up that anybody really had added it up to see how bad it was.
And some of those people, I mean, I can understand somebody having over $100,000 in debt if there's the mortgage plus the car plus the credit cards, but the people you're talking about were just credit card debt.
Yes.
And that was a big, scary number for them.
Yeah, it was a scary number for me.
Is it because they know they're in debt, they just don't want to know how much they're in debt?
Yeah, it's like John said. They're afraid of it. They know it's a big number, and it's easier just to keep making the minimum payments and ignore it.
And, you know, ignore it. That's the thing. You know, I remember a couple that we coached that wouldn't even go to the mailbox because they knew that there was bills in there and they were all overdue. And they didn't want to face it. So the mail just piled up in the mailbox.
But it never goes away. It always follows you, even if you ignore
it. Yep. And it grows.
And, you know, if you're trying to seriously pay off debt, it's really important to have a picture of how much you owe and what the different types of debt you owe are.
A complete picture.
A complete picture. Yeah. Including the mortgage, the car, the revolving debt, the credit cards, Uncle Freddie, everything.
On our website, CompassCatholic.org. If you go to the home page, about halfway down on the home page, there's a big black box. And there's a link there. It's called Customize Your Budget. If you click on that, you're going to get to a spreadsheet called List Your Debts and Snowball Them. And it will help you create a list of all your debts and help you create a snowball list for it. And what you do with a snowball is you pay it off. That helps you to pay it off. It gives you a listing of what to pay.
But you can't start to pay it off until you really own it and acknowledge it.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of leads into the next mistake people make, which is just kind of shrugging their shoulders and saying, well, debt's just a usual part of American life and everybody's in debt and I'm just going to slog along with it and not worry too much about getting out of debt. You know, it for some people, it's going to take them a long time to pay off debt, including the mortgage.
Yeah.
But speaking as someone who's been there and had that debt load, it's well worth the effort to try and pay it off and really concentrate on getting rid of all the debt.
Well, you know, I think it's the same way with college students. They go to college, they know they're going to have trouble paying it, and so they start doing student loans, and they... No, well, everybody does student loans, so it's just an accepted way of life. I've got to get a student loan. And, you know, it's easy, relatively, to get. You don't have to pay any of it while you're still in school. And so they graduate and get their bachelor's degree, and then they go on and get an advanced degree. And they end up with over $100,000 of debt.
Of student loan debt.
Yeah.
And that's not counting the credit card.
Yeah, it's nothing. Yeah. And it's just accepted. Well, you know, I'm going to school on student loans. You can't have that kind of mentality. It doesn't matter whether it's your student loans or if it's all your credit cards and the way you're spending money on credit cards. You just can't do that. You can't accept things at face value like that.
So if you're in debt, recognize that paying interest on your debt is wasting money and having debt hanging over your head is stressful to your financial and emotional health.
Yes. And, you know, another huge mistake is that people who don't have emergency funds.
Oh, yeah.
Which is probably about 75% of the population. And it's just really sad. But, you know, if you don't have an emergency fund, what are you going to do when you've got an emergency?
Use your credit card.
You're going to use your credit card. And so you're going to go further and further into debt. It is the cornerstone of budgeting, I think, or spending plans, is to have an emergency fund so that when something happens and your spending plan can't cover what you've got a resource to go to that's not debt.
A lot of people think it's impossible. You know, we recommend that you start with an emergency fund of $1,000, and that sounds like a huge number to a lot of people. But if you just start with something small, even $25 or $50 per pay period, deposited into your savings account, it's a start. It's some place to start instead of just ignoring it, like accepting debt and just thinking it's part of life.
And you'd be surprised how fast it'll accumulate to be $1,000.
So the best way to stay out of debt is to create that emergency fund and protect yourself from the unknown.
And don't take our word for it. I've been reading in the last 6 to 8 months more and more articles online and also on television, financial experts.
Yes.
The first thing they talk about, emergency fund.
Yes.
Amen,
that's because nobody has one.
Yeah.
So start with $1,000, use it only in an emergency, and get it up to 3 months of income.
And if you listen to the show in the past, you know we have stressed a few gotta do things, like you gotta have a budget. The other is you gotta have an emergency fund. So when those situations come up, you're not relying on the credit card. Well, today, John and Evelyn are discussing the mistakes that people make when paying off debt. Next, we're going to give you suggestions on doing it the right way. This is Manage Your Money God's Way from Compass Catholic Ministry, and you're listening to us on Breadbox Media.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to Manage Your Money God's Way from Compass Catholic Ministry. Today, we're sharing with you some of the mistakes that we have tracked over the last 20-plus years from couples or individuals that make mistakes when trying to pay off debt. So, John and Evelyn, what are some of the other ones, and what are some of the solutions?
Another mistake that people make is they end up, they're trying to do the right thing. They're trying to pay off their credit cards and stuff, but they try to pay a little bit extra on everything. So they got $10 extra here and $20 extra here and $5 extra here. And it really, eventually things would get paid off, but it really dilutes your effort. It's not at all satisfying. And they're going to be really slow at making progress. What we encourage you to do is find the smallest debt, whatever that is, whichever one that is. Find the one that has the lowest balance and put all your extra money towards that one debt. Pay the minimum amount on everything else and take all the extra money, the five here and the 10 there and the 20 there, pile it all in on one debt, the one that had the lowest amount.
So you don't take into consideration interest?
No.
So it's all balance, based on balance.
Based on
balance.
That's
our recommendation.
Some people will say, well, pay the highest balance first. The highest interest rate first. The problem is that the highest interest rate typically is also the largest one. And it's going to take forever to pay it off. We want you to have some success so you get excited about paying.
Okay, that's the why. Why the smallest balance?
Yes.
Okay, success.
You're going to have some successes. You're going to get a card paid off, and then you're going to move to the next largest balance.
Next smallest balance.
And you're going to get it paid off. And by the time you get to that large balance with a high interest rate, you're going to have a big snowball of money. That's what we're calling this, a debt snowball. So you start out with a small snowball, like making a snowman, you know. You make the head first, you make it small, and then you make the chest next, and so it's a little bit bigger, and then you make the bottom one, and it's huge. You use that when you get to that high one, and boom, 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 you get it paid off.
And you've had success with that with the individuals that you've worked with in the past.
Yeah, it keeps people excited about doing it.
Yeah, I can see that. Mm-hmm.
Well, the other thing is you can run an analysis on paying the highest interest rate versus the lowest balance by using the financial calculators on our website. If you go to the resources link in the main navigation bar and then click on financial calculators and then snowball debt elimination, you can look at the difference between paying off the smallest balance and paying off the highest interest rate.
Yeah, and now's would be a great time to do a plug for the website at compasscatholic.org, because we do have some great resources. John mentioned earlier the spreadsheets that are available. I mean, we kind of do some of the groundwork for you. You just have to fill in your numbers, and then the calculators, there's a ton there, whether you're paying off credit card debt, seeing if you can afford a home and what my monthly payment may be.
Saving for retirement.
Saving for retirement. CompassCatholic.org. Just scroll down, black box, you'll see great resources there.
You know, John, you were talking about diluting your efforts and paying off the smallest balance interest rate first. One of the things that we encourage people to do is to put their loan, put their extra money against the credit cards first, because that's going to, even if it's just a little bit, increase their cash flow. Because when you have an installment loan, like a car loan, you're supposed to pay, let's say, $350 every month,
right,
no matter what.
Right.
Even if you make an extra payment, you still have to pay the $350 the next month.
That's correct.
But when you have a credit card balance, you're charged interest on the outstanding balance.
Correct.
So paying off those credit cards first helps improve your cash flow, because the next month your interest rate, your interest charge is going to be lower once you start poking into paying off the principal.
Well, and the other piece to that is, because you're charged on the remaining balance and you've paid more on it, on that balance, your minimum payment is going to be reduced a little bit, which allows you, by even just paying the same amount this month as you paid last month, that's over and above the minimum, you will be paying more towards the principal.
And even if it's just a little bit of principal that you're paying off, every penny counts when you're trying to pay off debt.
Yes,
absolutely. Got to count your pennies and make them work for you.
And you may have mentioned this and I missed it, but as you pay off the smallest balance, you're still making payments on the other credit cards too, right?
The minimum, you're making the minimum payments always.
But your focus is that small one first, but you're still making payments, minimum payments.
Minimum payments, so you're taking all the extra cash and adding it to the minimum payment of the lowest balance, smallest balance.
And as soon as that smallest one's paid off, all that cash plus the minimum on the next smallest gets aggregated into that one.
Yes.
And then when you get all your credit cards paid off, you can pay off the revolving credit, the installment loans, like the car loans.
Yes, yes.
And after the car loan's paid off, then you can pay off your mortgage.
All right.
Hallelujah.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, some people think that they should keep a mortgage because of the tax deduction, but that really doesn't work in the long run.
You really don't want me to go there, do you?
Yeah, go ahead. Quickly. You can go there quickly.
Well, it's like this. If you've got a house mortgage, and the interest rates I'm going to use are probably pretty realistic. Let's say that over the course of the year, you pay a total of $4,000 of interest against that loan. You're going to be able, if you're in a 25% tax bracket, to subtract $1,000 from your income or your tax payment, you know, it'll be reduced so that you get a savings on your taxes.
But it's not reduced by the, you're not getting $1,000 back.
No. It's not reduced by $4,000. It's reduced by whatever your tax bracket is, which for most people would be either 15 or 25%. Now, anytime you want to give me $4,000, I would be more than happy once a year to give you back $1,000. In fact, I'm such a good guy, I'd do it twice a year. You pay me $4,000 and I'll give you $1,000 at Easter and $1,000 at Thanksgiving.
Can I get that in writing?
Absolutely.
I'll tell you what, I'll be a heck of a guy and give you
$1,500. So don't maximize the tax advantage, because it's really not that much.
It's not that great. I mean, yes, you do get it, but you're better off if you're not paying that $4,000 at all, because you've paid your mortgage off.
There you go. Another common mistake people make is continuing to charge new purchases on their credit cards when they're trying to pay them off.
Okay, yep.
So let's say you have a credit card with a balance of $5,000.
All right.
Your minimum payment is $134.
Okay.
Your interest charge for that month is $75.
Okay, that would mean that the interest on the credit card is 18% annually.
Okay, which is about right.
Okay.
And you made new charges of $200. Now, let's say you're feeling really good and you pay off the $200 charges you made that month.
Okay. So what about the $75 in interest?
Bingo. That's where I was going. Because that $75 in interest is still going to be added to your $5,000 balance. So you really got further behind. You didn't get ahead by paying off your current monthly charges.
So what happens is the credit card company says, well, you've got a $5,000 balance. The interest charge for this month is $75. So that brings the total to $5,075. And oh, by the way, Claribel, you charged $200. So your real balance is $5,275. But wait, last month it was only five. I said, I know. That's the way it works. So if you only pay $200, you're $75 further away from zero than you were before you started.
So our recommendation is don't charge things if you're trying to pay off your credit card unless you're going to pay off that charge plus the minimum payment plus the interest for
yes,
that month. That's
absolutely
the only way to get ahead.
All the reason to have that emergency fund in case something happens when you're trying to pay off your debt.
There you go.
Absolutely, Steve. That's a great
And the interest
comment.
Fee, you're right about that. I don't think people really, I think if they stopped and thought about it, they would realize what they were doing. I don't think people, when they use their credit cards on purchases like that, think about accumulating interest.
Nope, not at all. Not in our experience. Let's jump down to using home equity to pay off credit card debt. What do you think about that, John?
Not a good idea.
Big mistake.
I don't like it. Don't like it.
But, you know, there was a time when some of the financial experts recommended using a home equity line of credit to pay off credit cards. The problem is that home values have decreased. We've still got unemployment problems. There's an increased risk to foreclosure. So if you're using a home equity line of credit to pay off your credit card, and if you don't change your lifestyle, you run the risk of losing your home. So
Bingo.
That is very dangerous.
Bingo. And the problem is, most people, when they do that, they haven't changed their lifestyle.
Yes.
And so they'll take out that HELOC loan for $5,000 to pay off that credit card.
Feel really good that they paid it off.
They'll feel really good about it. But then that same month, they're going to use that credit card to charge up something else. And you know, the problem is that if you start using a home equity line, a HELOC loan, they can come in and take your house if you don't pay that loan off. If you just have credit card debt, they can't take your loan. You can't take your house. But as soon as you put your house up as collateral for your credit card loans, and that's what you're doing when you get a home equity loan, then they can come take your house. Do you really want to put your house on the line?
Because you
for
bought
a lifestyle that you can't afford in the first place.
There you go.
Not a good idea. Ooh.
That's very, very dangerous. So if you've made some of these mistakes, consider which ones you're making and try to change your lifestyle. Because it really isn't about how much you earn. It's about how much you spend. And ignoring your debt just means trouble. You need to make a plan, stick to it, and get out of debt.
Stick around. We've got some great tips on what kids need to know about money. That's next on Manage Your Money God's Way from Compass Catholic Ministry on Breadbox Media.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministry, teaching what the Bible tells us are the best practices when handling money. We teach these biblical principles in our 9-week small group Bible study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. Here's what I'd like for you to do. Go to compasscatholic.org, click on Bible Studies, and take a look at Navigating Your Finances God's Way. This is our 9-week small group Bible study, and I feel you're going to be very impressed to see that everything you need to know about handling money is right there in the Bible. That's right, the Bible is our workbook. John and Evelyn Bean, the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministry, are with me today. And one of the things that we hear most often from people who have taken Navigating Your Finances God's Way, the Bible study, is, I wish I had learned this earlier.
Yeah, it's not like nobody uses money every day, right? I mean, every single person uses, even if a child is buying lunch at school. So every single person uses money in some form every day.
That's true.
And if you're struggling with money, you're going to struggle a lot in other areas of life. So in my opinion, every high school graduate should be required to pass a basic financial literacy test in order to graduate or get their GED.
So if you're really wondering what you should be sure to teach your teens about money, we got some clues for you. Some great ideas. The first one, everything about money is based on attitude. And if you've got a rotten attitude, you're going to do a rotten job handling your money.
Well, define a rotten attitude. What do you mean by rotten attitude?
Well, there's a lot of rotten ones, okay? But the basic one is, God owns everything.
Well, that's not a rotten attitude.
No, that's a good attitude.
Okay.
But people don't recognize that.
Okay.
The rotten attitude may be, what are you talking about?
Me.
I'm the one who worked. I don't remember seeing him there on the job.
Yeah. You go, Steve. You go.
What the heck are you talking about, Evelyn?
So many people, you know, mentally they can accept God owns everything.
But don't make me live that way, right?
Don't make me live that way. Not in my heart. I'm, you know, God can control everything but my pocketbook is mine.
You got a pocketbook?
And I'm in control. But it's unfortunate that people can't automatically transfer the knowledge from their brain to their heart. That's the longest distance in the body. I don't know why. But it is, because people have a real difficult time taking that knowledge. Sure, God owns everything. He created the world. I mean, how could he not own everything?
He owns everything except my stuff,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's what you didn't. You said me.
Yeah. If you can get just those three words in your teenager's brain and get them working towards their heart, you will have accomplished great, great things with your son or daughter.
But the teenagers need to see that action from the parents.
Amen.
It's not, I mean, I can tell you God owns everything, but you want to come with me when I buy that 70-inch screen TV?
Yep, yeah. You're right. Yeah. And the parents need to model the behavior they want to see in their kids and teach children from an early age how to be a good steward of all the blessings God's given them. And that includes everything, taking care of their room, their clothes, their schoolwork, their responsibilities as part of the family.
What's that phrase? It's caught, not taught?
Caught, not taught. Yep. Very good. All right. Here's another big one that parents don't often live by, but they want kids to live by it. And that is, if you don't have the money, you can't buy it.
That's the shortest book in the world.
I don't know if it's still available on YouTube. There was a great Steve Martin. Saturday Night Live. He was selling a book that said, if you don't have the money, you can't buy it. It's hysterical. I don't know if it's still out there or not. But that's, you know, that premise that you have to use money to buy something and not credit is totally against everything our society tells us.
But, I agree with you, Evelyn. Absolutely, I agree with you. If you've been reading the research lately, and I think, Steve, you'll agree with me because I know you've been looking at it too, the millennials are doing a much better job than any of us older people ever did about only spending what they have. They don't have credit cards, typically. they have a debit card, and they're using their debit card for everything. I have issues with that because it's not as safe as a credit card. But when you're using a debit card, you're only spending what you got. The bad part is they're not saving also. So they're spending everything they got, but they're not going into debt. So we have to teach our teens that not only can you only spend what you got, but you need to save part of what you got for a rainy day.
I think we talk about saving later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I won't go too far down that rabbit hole.
Don't go down there yet.
Yeah.
How about the difference between wants and needs? How many people know that one?
That's a tough one. That's a tough one because there wants, I want something, I need something. In most people's vernacular, it means the same thing.
Yep. I need the 70-inch screen TV, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Audrey just had this experience this week at a store. She was looking at some clothing, and a husband and wife were looking. And she said to her husband, what do you think of this? And he said, do you need it or do you want it?
Oh, love right. that. I'd love to meet that couple.
Yeah, Audrey actually turned around and said something.
Did she turn around and say, amen, sister, or what?
That was the husband who said, do you need it or want it?
Yeah, that makes more sense. But that's true. I mean, needs, food, clothing, and shelter.
Needs,
that's
yes.
Needs.
Yes, basic necessities.
Wants are the newest technology gadget.
Yeah.
The fancy clothes, the restaurant meals,
yeah.
The newest gee-gaw that's out there.
I haven't had styles. A gee-gaw in a long time, Steve.
You had a gee-gaw?
No, is that with a 15-inch screen? Or?
But how many times, I mean, the new phones come out, whatever brand of phone you have, and everybody needs to get the new
They're
one.
They're already sold out.
Because you know? It has to do one more thing that your current phone doesn't have.
Right.
So I think a lot of times we manufacture needs and don't really consider the difference between needs and wants.
Well, and we have a great amount of help in manufacturing needs.
Oh, you mean like all the advertising?
Absolutely. All you got to do is watch TV, read the newspaper, look at a magazine, read the internet. I mean, you can't even read an article without deleting 15 different ads for this, that, or the other thing. They're manufacturing wants for or needs for us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have to be strong. You have to know the difference.
You know, that's a good thing to teach kids is to recognize the manipulation that goes on with advertising. Sit down and watch an ad with a kid. Take the sound out so you don't even know what they're advertising and see if the child can identify what the product is, because a lot of times based on what they're showing on TV, you don't even know what the product is because it's so off kilter from what they're showing,
what they're saying. Yeah. And you know, another way of doing that would be as your child tries to manipulate you, and trust me, you might think you've got Johnny Angel as your child, he's going to manipulate you. And call him on it. And then you can use that to point out the same thing happening in advertising.
There you go. There you go. You know, another thing that, you know, we had talked about it earlier, that kids, and unfortunately too many adults, don't really understand is the cost of debt. People don't understand the interest rates and the interest charges that rack up on those credit cards so easily, and paying interest on stuff. You know, if you go out to a restaurant meal and you have to pay interest on that just because you wanted a meal out one night, you're just wasting money.
Yes, yes.
Interest is not doing anything to benefit you unless it's interest on your savings.
Absolutely, I agree. And yeah, if you can understand that, it's going to make so much difference in the amount of money that you have available.
That's right. And your financial success is not about how much you make. It's about how well you manage what you make. And Steve, I know you and mm-hmm. your wife have worked with several couples that mm-hmm. were making six-figure incomes.
Yes.
And they couldn't make ends meet.
No, and it wasn't that. It's just where they were spending their money. You know, they had to buy the name brand, the top-of-the-line steak, seafood, and it took 6-7 months to get them to start changing habits.
And it's easy to do.
That's exactly what the husband said. We had no idea, and that's why we called you. We had no idea until we sat down and added up what our debt is, excluding their home.
Yeah. It's amazing how it gets away from you. Mm-hmm. So basic behavior modification is understand what debt is doing to you and teach your kids to avoid using credit cards.
And, you know, really what the kids need to learn is they only need three buckets, three little jars, give, save, spend.
In order to manage their money.
Yes, yes. And if you can encourage them, if you give them like three mason jars or three different banks and label them give, save, and spend, and they have to divide their money up into those three jars, it will make a huge difference in their lives going forward.
And the parents will give them direction, what percentage they should put into give and to save. I love that idea, actually.
Because if you start when they're younger, I mean, kids these days start getting money at 4 or 5 years old.
Absolutely.
And if you teach them at a young age that money gets divided up into those three buckets. Now, for a small child, you probably don't want save to be something long-term like college. It might be something like a small toy they can buy within a week or two, but it gets them into the habit of understanding, I don't get everything I want exactly when I want it.
And that's important. That's so important. It's all about the attitude.
And parents teaching their kids to be good financial managers.
Yep.
I love one of the takeaways that John and Evelyn shared, the three jars. One jar for money that your child's going to save, one jar for money they're going to give, and the other for spending. And today we're discussing what kids should know about money. And after the break, we're going to discuss some of the best uses for that money of theirs. This is Manage Your Money God's Way from Compass Catholic Ministry, and this is Breadbox Media.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back. This is Manage Your Money God's Way from Compass Catholic Ministry. John and Evelyn Bean, the co-founders of the ministry, are with me in the studio. We'd like you to check out our website, compasscatholic.org, to learn more about what we do and how we could help you get out of debt. We're discussing what kids need to know about money. And John, what are some of the other lessons that parents need to be teaching their children?
One of the things that we want to talk about is, and it's really important to teach the children, but they have to be able to use the income that they receive, the money that they receive. They need to use it in the best manner available. Now, you as a parent, your income, it pays your debts, bills, and those kinds of things. It funds your lifestyle, and it provides for your future. Kind of give, save, spend that we were talking about in the last segment. If you don't have enough income, what do you do? Well, you have to either get another income, or you need to reduce your lifestyle to live on the income that you have. The same goes for your children. Kids are watching TV all the time, especially around Christmas when all these toys and everything are being shown. And so they want this, they want that, they want this, they want that. And, you know, their list takes up more paper than you've got in the house. Those are their wants. They've got to understand that they can't have all their wants. They have to live within their lifestyle. Their lifestyle is dictated by how much money they receive. And depending on the age of the child, you know, you're not talking about a whole lot of money. If they have a lifestyle that says, I want to go out and spend $300 or $400 on this game or this piece of equipment, they've got to understand that that's a lifestyle they're creating, and do they have the money to support it?
Which kind of gets into the next thing, which is teaching kids to define their budget based on less than their income.
That's such a great idea.
You know, if your budget, if your income, let's say, as a teen working is, let's just say, $300 a month, they should not have a $300 a month budget unless a good portion of that is going towards savings.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to commit your savings up to the maximum of your income.
I think it goes back to the three jars.
Yep.
Give, save, spend. Their lifestyle has to be funded by the spend jar.
Yes.
It's not funded by the save jar. It's not funded by the give jar. So they have to tailor their lifestyle to be funded by their give jar, spend jar.
So as you define your budget based on your income, I mean, is there a formula that you share that is it 10% should go to savings or?
Steve, I'm glad you asked that. On our CompassCatholic.org website, about midway down the homepage, there's a black box that has a link that says customize your budget. And if you open that link, there's a bunch of spreadsheets to help you manage your budget. And one of them is called Percentage Guidelines. And it talks about how much you should be spending on different things. I think in total, your housing expenses, which includes mortgage payment, house insurance, all the upkeep and maintenance,
utilities should
only be about 40% of your total spendable income, not your gross income.
That's correct.
There's a lot of guidelines there that people can look at and manage to compare that to what they're actually spending to see how they're doing as far as being out of whack.
But for the children, I would make it really simple. And you either divide it into thirds, a third giving, third spending, third saving, or maybe a quarter, quarter, half, quarter giving, a quarter saving, and half spending. I wouldn't try to refine it any further than that. And I would make the first two, giving and saving, as large as possible so they get the idea. This is the way it's done. When they're 20 years old, I said, well, ever since I've been doing this, I've been saving 25%. I've been giving 25%. I've got 50% to spend.
At what age do you bring a child in on a discussion about the family budget?
It's when they start to be teenagers and there's more demand for their spending. You know, they're managing a lot of their own money. In our case, we gave our son a budget for school shopping. And he was free to make his own decisions on what kind of clothes he needed, what he wanted to buy within that budget. But he knew he had to get X number of pairs of underwear and X number of pairs of socks and X number of pairs of pants and X number of shirts. When they're in control, they're a lot more conscious of their spending than when mom and dad are just handing out the credit card.
Well, and, you know, I had the same thing when I was growing up. When I was in junior high school, I had a budget, and I had to buy all my clothes. I had to pay for all my lunches at school and any entertainment that I did. But I learned pretty quickly, if you don't have any money, you're not going out on Friday night.
Well, and it's important for the parents to let the child fail.
Yes, absolutely.
If you have a teenager and they spend all their money that week and they want to borrow $20 or $30 from you to go out on Friday or Saturday night, the answer is, sorry, you spent your money.
Yeah.
Because failure is going to teach them more than anything that you can give them to drag them out of some mistake they've made. They need to make mistakes while they're under your roof.
And, you know, I know, Evelyn, that you've been taking the grandson's school shopping for clothes at the beginning of each school year. Both grandsons, actually all three grandsons, have gone from store to store to store pricing items, the same item to get the one with the lowest cost, so, 'cause they know how much money they got to spend, and if they spend it all on tennis shoes, then there's no shirts, no shorts, and no underwear.
They go to school naked. Good.
Yeah.
Well, we've gotten to the point where the first thing they ask when they get in the car is, how much money, what's my budget, Mimi?
That's a great lesson for them. Yeah,
that's cool.
You know, because nobody sits down and says, I want to waste this much money a year. But what happens is a lot of people pitter away money over the course of the year. For example, the fancy coffee on the way to work.
Yes.
$5.
Yes.
Doesn't sound like a lot. And then you calculate $25 a week. And then you calculate $100 a month. And then you calculate $1,200 a year. And that's a big number.
Yes.
So what we're trying to do is to make sure pennies are managed so dollars can be maximized.
There you go.
How about teaching children to set goals? That's a magic thing, is that having people understand the power of writing down and defining a specific goal.
It is. And you know, it's a psychological thing that people don't even recognize. You know, we had an experience where we did that. And not only did we write them down, but we we cut out pictures of what our goals were. And it's amazing what will happen to you unconsciously if you do something like that.
How about the magic of compound interest? Kids usually have a real eye-opener when they learn about compound interest because they don't understand it. They think if they save $25, all they have is the $25.
I think most adults don't understand it either because it's magic.
So compound interest is when you earn money on the money you saved plus the interest paid on that money.
Yes.
And there are two ways you can have compound interest in your life. You can either use it in your savings so it benefits you, or you can be in debt so that you're paying compound interest and losing money.
Yes. Yeah.
And believe me, the savings part is much better than the paying the debt part.
Do we have enough time for me to quickly show them how to calculate that?
Sure.
If you take the amount of interest that you're going to earn and divide that number into 72, that tells you how many years, the amount of time, it'll take your money to double. So if your interest rate is 9%, you divide that into 72, that's 8. So the money that you have earning 9% interest will double every 8 years. So if you had $20 in 8 years, it'd be worth 40. In another 8 years, it would be worth 80. And in another 8 years, it'd be worth 160, but you only started with 40.
And that's
excuse me, 20.
And that's why it's so important for kids to understand this early, because it encourages them to save long-term savings.
Yes. Absolutely.
All right, what about, let's see. What about credit scores? Kids really need to pay, and parents should be paying attention to their kids' credit scores.
Yeah, and we're not talking about, sixth graders here. We're talking about teenagers and college students.
I would say any child that has a social security number, mom and dad ought to be monitoring their credit score, because there's so much fraud going on today.
I'm sorry. I've got to disagree with you. It's not the credit score they need to monitor. It's a credit report.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
You knew credit was in there somewhere.
I knew it.
Yes, because, once a child has a social security number, and in today's world, that's required within like six
hours.
Weeks of birth, you
yeah.
know. So once that number exists, it is subject to fraud. And so I would pull a credit report on every one of your children's social security numbers along with yours. 3 times a year. Every 4 months, you go to one of the 3 reporting agencies. And Evelyn, you know what they are off the top of your head?
I think there's a website called creditreport.com. It's Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion.
TransUnion, yes, yeah. And so you can get a free one every 12 months from each of those companies. And I would absolutely pull one, not only for yourselves, but for your children. Every time. And, let's just close it off with a Bible verse, Proverbs 21:20. A wise man saves for the future. A foolish man spends whatever he gets.
And there you have it, some excellent suggestions and advice on what your children need to know about money. Saving, spending, giving. Now, if you missed any of today's show, you can go to compasscatholic.org and listen to the entire show, or you can download it for later listening. We also have some of the links that we have talked about on today's show. They're available at compasscatholic.org. Scroll down to radio show and click on show notes. Thanks for listening. We invite you back again next week for Manage Your Money God's Way from Compass Catholic Ministry on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.